Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Well, let's share the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 to 23 in the message. Let's read. Even though I'm free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. Religious, non-religious, meticulous moralists, loose-living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ. But I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I have become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempt to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all this because of the message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. Well, to begin our message today, I just want you to imagine with me. You know, in kids' house, we call it put on your thinking cap or your imagination cap. And I want you to imagine with me a little servant girl whose name we are not even given in the Bible, but maybe she's standing somewhere looking through a window, watching the soldiers come back. And the lead soldier, the captain, is riding back victoriously and happy and rejoicing because he went out sick with leprosy, with a disease that had no cure, but he's coming back totally healed. He's coming back. His skin is like the skin of a baby. And she's watching his wife run out to meet him and hug him and look at him with amazement. And this young Hebrew girl knows that she was in on it. She was in on that miracle, in on that joy. She's the one that shared the good news that brought healing to this man. Wow. Think with me about a boy. Again, a young boy, we don't have his name. It's not written in the Bible. But this boy is sitting on a hill, or maybe standing, or maybe running around with the disciples, picking up bread and fish left over from a wonderful miracle that had just happened. His fishes and loaves had fed 5,000 people. Can you imagine his joy? Can you imagine his amazement? Can you imagine him there thinking, I am in on this? Yeah? These are my loaves. These are my fishes. I think of another young lady called Ruth. Her name is given in the Bible, but this young lady is watching her mother-in-law playing with a newborn baby, a baby called Jesse. They didn't even know that this baby would one day be the grandfather of the future king. But here she is watching this happy mother-in-law. She knows that the joy in this mother-in-law's life is there because of her words and her actions. She was what? In on it. She was in on it. And then the most epic of all, most exciting, most dramatic is this young lad. Imagine him sitting or standing between two hills. I think it's a plane between two hills. And he's holding a giant's head in one hand and a giant sword in another hand. And the armies of Israel are rushing down the hill with renewed courage and renewed strength and renewed hope that they would rout the armies of the Philistines. And this boy, David, knows that this is happening and he is in on it. It was his words, his actions that had brought the nation to that point. There are some people who don't just stand in the sidelines and watch. There are some people who don't just talk about what they want to do, plan what they want to do, research forever what they want to do. There are people who get in on it. And today we want to be able to ask ourselves, are we those people? They did what they were talking about, these four that I have mentioned to you. And so when lives were changed, when miracles happened, when victory was won, guess what? They were in on it. Wow. You know, I love it when encounters come back. And, you know, during encounters and we are standing here. Sometimes just stand on the opposite side and look at the faces of the cell leaders. Because you can tell they are so excited. They are in on the miracles and the testimonies that are being talked about. Today we continue. Actually, we finish the series that the team has been sharing that's titled Fixed for My World. Pastor Don began on Mission Sunday and just challenged us to come back and look at our mission. And he talked about the work that it would take to reach our world for Christ. He talked about the warfare that it takes to reach souls for Christ. Talked about the witness that is needed for us to win souls for Christ. And I believe this is a message that is a turning point, a pivotal point for Nairobi Lighthouse Church. I think that God has brought us to this point, and now he wants us to go back and do the things that we did before so that we can find the joy of being in on it that we had before. Amen? The great joy of countless souls saved every week because we are in on it. God is doing something new to revive us in our mission. And we are being reminded that our world or your world needs the light that you carry, the light that I carry. Your world needs the difference that only you can make. Amen? You know, we have children, we have teens, we have young people and older adults in this church and in our nation, in our city, in our communities around us. These people need us. They need the light that we are carrying. And we are a lighthouse. Our light must be fixed and clear so those in the storms and in the waves around us get a clear passage to the safe harbor that is Jesus Christ. Amen? That's where they're going. That's where we are pointing them to. We are pointing them in the direction of that place of refuge and safety that is Jesus Christ. After Pastor's Mission Sunday, we began this series that's entitled Fixed for My World. And the first message asked a question, delved into this question. What am I becoming? What am I becoming? And that has to do with the work that is needed for me to be transformed into the person I need to be in order to be a credible witness. The work of turning on my light. We cannot be a lighthouse unless the light is on. And then the second week, we answered this question, am I losing my bearings? Am I losing my bearings? And I loved that very wonderful analogy of what it's like to veer off just a little and lose your bearings. And in this, the emphasis really was on our warfare. Why warfare? Because warfare takes a certain awareness. Warfare takes a certain alertness, because if you're not alert in warfare, then guess what? You're going to be taken out, right? Yeah, my husband Vic loves to watch warfare movies. Yeah, not gory ones, though. Just, you know, they're hiding in the bushes and they're coming with the planes and all that. And I sit there and watch with him or doze while he watches them. But one thing I noticed is that a soldier cannot afford to be unaware. And a soldier cannot afford to lose their alertness, because the minute you do, you're going to be taken out, right? And that's what we've been challenged to do, is be aware of the little things that cause you to begin to drift, to veer off. And the changes are small, but before you know it, you're in enemy territory and may be taken out. And then last week, what a wonderful message. Am I entering their world? And that's about witness. Am I entering their world? The power of connecting and sharing with people.
We are finding ways to connect with people in a way that makes it easy and comfortable and less awkward for us to share the gospel with them. And today, who can guess the question? Am I in on it? The question is actually, am I just talking about it? Am I just talking about it? Or am I in on it? Am I really in on it? Am I working? Am I working for it? The part about being in on it is winning. Winning. Winning is the overarching theme and purpose in this series that we are sharing today. The whole series has been designed to be very practical, to help you and I to see, to evaluate ourselves with these questions, and to help ourselves be able to identify, where really am I? Where do I stand? What am I doing? And where do I need to adjust so that instead of just talking about being a Christian and about having a mission, I'm actually in on it. I'm actually doing this. Are we actually doing the work of missions? The lives around us will not be changed by what we know. They will be changed by what we do. Come on, can I say that again? The lives around us will not be changed by what we know. They'll be changed by what we do. A lighthouse can be built and be beautiful, well decorated, majestic on the cliffs, painted nicely, positioned well. But unless that light is on, guess what? It means nothing. Unless that light is on when it needs to be, when that ship is coming by, when those people are in the raging waves, if that light is not on, then it means nothing. It's all for nothing. In this passage that we've been reading for the last 4 weeks, Paul says that he chose to keep his bearing. He's not going to go into enemy territory. He's not going to do the wrong thing. He will enter their world, but he's not going to be of their world. He entered their world, and all for that purpose, the purpose of winning them. 1 Corinthians 9:22. Let me read it again in, I believe this is the NIV or the Berean version. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save them. I do all this for the sake of the gospel so that I may share in its blessings, so that I may be in on it. I love that Paul adjusted his life in a certain way. He chose to make adjustments in his life so in a way so as to win, as in he was very focused on who he wanted to reach. He wanted to win the Jew. You know, the Jew is that person who is of the same background as Paul. Paul was a former Pharisee and he knew the law. And these are people who are like us. We know what we are doing and we don't need this gospel that you're talking about. What we have is enough. He wanted to reach that person with that mentality. He wanted to win the Gentile, people of a different background from him. They didn't come from the same place, didn't see things the same way. They had their own gods. But Paul was willing to make adjustments in his life to reach that person. He wanted to win the good people, you know, those moralists. As we are good people, we always do everything right. Why do we need the gospel? What are you talking about, sin? You know, they have the argument that they are okay. They are great human beings, you know. But Paul wanted to reach the good people as well and show them that the problem we have in our world is common to everyone, the problem of sin. He wanted to reach the immoral people, the loose-living immoralists that didn't really care and weren't concerned much about what he had to share. Or maybe they were concerned and just didn't know how to get out of the problems they were putting themselves in. Paul wanted to reach those as well. He wanted to win the weak. These are the ones who have some faith, but they are struggling. And they needed someone to come alongside them and tell them, hey, it's okay. If to you it's too much for me to eat meat that has been sacrificed to idols, I will not eat it. Or if we need to eat the meat sacrificed to idols for you to make it, I'll eat it with you. I mean, it was for Paul, it was like, I'm going to do what I need to do with you so that you may be reached. Paul wanted to be a part of the blessing and joy and victory of lives transformed. He wanted to be in on it. So what can we do to be in on it? To be living, breathing witnesses of the gospel. What can we do so that we can win people to Christ and make a difference in their lives? Be a part of that celebration, that testimony, that glory of a transformed life. What do we do so that we draw men to Christ? I'd like to share the lessons I see in Paul's life and in the lives of other people in the Bible. And I'm adding really to what has already been said. I don't think I'm going to be sharing anything new as such. Possibly just sharing a different angle so that we can together make a to-do list. Already it's been very practical and very clear how we need to evaluate ourselves. But let's come up with a to-do list that will help us go out there into our communities, our workplaces, our schools, and reach people for Christ. Amen? So number one, do good. Number one is do good. That's simple. You know, Christians are supposed to be good people. Can I have an amen? We are supposed to be good people and we are supposed to do good. Good people who do good. You know, I love it that Paul chose to be a tent maker and not take a salary from certain people that he could have taken a salary from because he wanted to bring the gospel free to them without any strings attached to them. He wanted to be able to do that with them. It's a good thing. He did a good thing. He gave. People who do good things to others have an impact on their lives, on those other people's lives. When you do good things to others, you have an impact on their lives. Jesus did good. Our Savior showed us that example. He did good. Acts 10, verse 38 says what? That how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all that were under the power of the devil because God was with him. That's what Jesus did in those 3 years of ministry that he went around. He went around doing good. He went around healing. He went around helping. He went around entering people's houses and being a part of what they were doing and with their families. A good person showing us how to be good people. And in so doing, healing them and delivering them and saving them and helping them. You know, Romans 2:4 shows us that it's the goodness of God that draws men to him. It says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness? God's goodness is rich in our lives. The riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. We don't despise the goodness of our God. God has actually determined to show us his goodness so that we may be drawn to him. Amen? So we become the expression of God's goodness in people's lives. As a believer, I ought to be that expression that when people see me coming, they see God's goodness coming because that's who I am here to express, that God is with me and in me, and because he is, then I have good to do in my community. I have ways to help my neighbor. You know, I remember, I'm reminded of a story with a neighbor of ours from Shags. This is years ago when I think I was still in campus. And a neighbor of ours ended up in Kenyatta Hospital, really sick, very, very sick, actually. And she was there at a time when Kenyatta Hospital was in very bad shape. People were sharing beds and there was no food sometimes, or even if there was food, you know, you really didn't want to eat it. And I remember my sisters and I were living close to Kenyatta Hospital at that time, and we determined to every day to just be good to our neighbor from Shags. She didn't have any family in Nairobi. We became her family in Nairobi. And every day we would cook a meal and take it to her. We'd make chapos and stew. We'd make jahe. We'd make mokimo. Just a good meal from home. Amen? And she would be so excited to see us every day because we were like her daughters coming to see her. Can you imagine the kind of access that we had in this woman's life? Can you imagine the kind of access we ended up having in this family's life? Before we were family friends, but now we have their hearts open to us. Amen? And that to me is how Christians should be. This is the kind of thing we need to consistently do. Look out to how we can be kind, how we can lend a helping hand, how we can support somebody, how we can be there for them, how we can reach out or just be nice and forgive somebody who offended you. Let them know you actually forgive them and you have no issues with them. Somebody in the WhatsApp group in your neighborhood says, hey, I'm selling them doma. Go and buy their domas. Don't say, doma ni nyingi hapo kwa kibanda, you know? No, go buy them, because when you do, guess what? You get to meet your neighbor. They'll deliver it to you or you will go and pick them up. And then next Sunday or another time when there's an opportunity, you can say, oh, by the way, we have something going on in church. Would you like us? Would you like us to pass by and pick you up? And your neighbor will be very open. Maybe their eye will be on the, you know, the carrots that are still in the ground. Na atasema, wacha, we go to church, they might buy my carrots. But when they are here, they will receive Christ as their personal savior. Amen? Goodness will do that. Yeah? Think about that little servant girl who did a good thing. Not a big thing, just a good thing. She told the masters, yeah, she told the master's wife, if my master will only go and see the prophet, he will be healed, yeah? Number two, deny yourself. Deny yourself is the other thing that has been spoken of from this pulpit in this series. We've got to make sacrifices in order to win people to Christ. Paul denied himself certain liberties. He denied himself freedoms so that he could reach the lost. Paul was free from the law because he's a believer, but he observed the law meticulously so that he could persuade the Jews. And to reach the Gentiles, he was willing to be without the law so that he could reach the Gentiles. He put himself in the shoes of the weak so that he could win them. Let's do the same thing. Reaching and winning will require that we deny ourselves. No one has any impact on others that is not living sacrificially in some way. Can I repeat that again so that you hear me? No one has any impact on others' lives that is not living sacrificially in some way. You will not have any impact on another person if your life is all about you. Ruth gave up her own familiar way of life so that she could be there for her mother-in-law. And look what happened. The world says, my rights, my freedom, my time, my dreams, my ambitions. That's what the world says. But God's word says what? Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. That's what the word says. Christ laid his own deity. He laid his equality with God. Not only did he give up his life for us, but he laid down his equality with God to come and walk among mere men so that he could win us and reconcile us back to God. And that Savior of ours says, come to me. You know, come to me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What seems like such a big deal, me denying myself, me making sacrifices, it's not going to be such a big deal if you're yoked to Christ. The yoke will be easy and the burden will be light. You know, I want to comment on the sacrifices that people in this church make to serve here so that we can have such awesome Sunday services and receive such wonderful ministry. I think of the Kids House facilitators. I think of the activators. I think of creative arts. You guys don't realize the sacrifices these guys are making so that you can receive ministry freely. You know, but at the same time, I am challenged that that kind of sacrifice needs to begin to look out to the nation around us. Look out to our city. And that sacrifice is not going to come only from ministry team members. It's going to come from church members. It's going to come from you and me who are in those offices, who are in those schools, who are in those neighborhoods. And you're going to decide, I'm making the sacrifice and denying myself so that these people may come to Christ. Amen? Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Number three, be the person someone needs. Be the person someone needs. Paul chose to become all things to all men. I've become just about every sort of servant, it says in the message, every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those that I meet into a God-saved life. So here's Paul, a Pharisee, a Roman, and a teacher, a person well-learned in the law, a tent maker. But you see him walking around doing whatever these people need to be. Whatever these Jews need me to be, I'm going to be with them. If they need me to stand in the square and debate, I will do. If they need me to enter the king's court and tell them about Jesus, I will do that. You know, if they need me to walk the highways and byways with them and be in ships trapped and sometimes wrecked in the sea with them, I will do that, so that they may be won to Christ. There's someone that you know who needs a friend. Be that someone. Be the person they need. There's someone you know that needs a big sister or a big brother. Sometimes it can be a little sister or a little brother, because the person is older than you, but they need you to be there for them as a sister or brother. There's a person who needs you to be their neighbor and just be there for them as only a neighbor can be. To be a guide, to mentor them in certain things. There's a person there who needs you to be a father, who needs you to be a mother, to walk with them, to put their hand around, your hand around them, to listen to them, to show that you care. This is how you gain access into people's lives and help them. There's a weak brother or sister, even in the church, who's not gonna make it, who's gonna backslide and go back into the world because you are not there being the person they need you to be for them. And maybe you're just there saying, Angalia huyu. They are struggling, Bwana. Do you see the way they are struggling? And it's the Holy Spirit is showing you their struggle so you can step up and be there for them. Amen? Be the person someone needs. And number four, preach Christ alone. You know, we are to preach Christ and Him crucified. Preach Him. Simply share the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 said, For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The gospel is Christ crucified for our sins. You know, we are all sinners and Christ died for us. To evangelize is to share the message of salvation with those who do not know Him as a Savior. Be a witness. Yes, share your testimony. Yes, share what God has done for you. Share how He healed you, how He provided for you. Share how He's walking with you, how He lifted you out of depression and brought joy back into your life. But do not neglect to share the gospel, that every man and woman is a sinner. Every boy and girl is a sinner, and that Jesus died on the cross for our sin. And that if we receive Him as our Savior, our sins will be forgiven and we will go to heaven when we die. Share that, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen? We must point others to trust in Christ and Christ alone. For this, we don't depend on our personality, on our skills. We don't depend on our connections or our power or on our money. We depend on the power of the gospel. Romans 1:16 says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Can we read that scripture together? For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, I remember in our early cell days when cell groups were first introduced in Nairobi Lighthouse Church, we would meet first. 1 week would be all about edification. Encourage the brothers and the sisters so that they may be strong. Amen? But what were we to be strong for? The following week would be evangelism. And we would be sure to invite people. Guys would host cells. And the reason you would host a cell is so that your family members will be there. And when the cell comes to your family, then there's opportunity for your family members to be saved. Because cell leaders are well trained to share the gospel and invite people to receive Christ. And every week we would be counting tens, hundreds of people saved. And these people would come to church and rededicate or recommit, publicly recommit their lives to Christ. But they've already found him where the members of the church were, inviting them, embracing them, interacting with them, engaging with them, and winning them to the Lord. Amen? So what are you to do? What will you do this week? What will you do this month? What will you do in the coming days? I want you to take a moment and would you close your eyes with me? I know it's the end of the service. You've been sitting a while, but I want us to focus and focus on listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us and how the Holy Spirit is talking to us about our involvement. Where is your opportunity to show goodness this week? What is the Holy Spirit showing you that this is somewhere I can be good? I can show goodness. In what ways will you deny yourself so that you can show up for somebody? To whom can you be the person someone needs? Who is God putting a light on? Who is God drawing an arrow to for you so that you can be someone to that person? Who are you targeting to share the gospel with? This is how we can be in on the blessing of changed lives. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are the one showing us and speaking to us by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray. We commit those questions, that inquiry before you, O God. We are saying, this is what you are showing us to do. Now help us to step out into the week, Lord. Help us to step out into our schools and our workplaces and our homes and our neighborhoods, knowing that this is how we shine the light. And help us to shine it bright and to draw men to you. We thank you, Father, for doing it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.